Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 44 of Slam Fire Radio for somewhere in the middle of February 2014. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew McClatchy.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Owen Swelling.
I'm Trevor.
And Trevor's sick. Sorry, Trevor.
Oh, poor baby.
I don't mean to make fun of you or anything, but you're sick.
Whatever, man. Just... whatever.
Whatever. It is what it is, and you may live through it, and if not, I'm coming over and trying to beat Muffin to the punch and collecting all of your guns.
All right. Because I don't think I'm going to make it.
No. And really, you really shouldn't hang on there as long as you can. Don't worry about it.
I've had a good run.
We'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. I know you guys will make it through just fine.
Well, you go ahead and get some Vicks Vapor Rub or something going there, and Owen, why don't you tell us what you did this week with guns?
All right. I didn't do a whole lot. Surprise, surprise.
All right, Trevor, you're going to have to lay off that vapor rub here soon. I don't think Owen's going to last too long.
I got my stuff in for a 50 Beowulf for loading that, some little gun, and some projectiles.
It's obvious, or it's kind of ironic that you have to use little gun for a 50 Beowulf.
And big
gun.
Yeah, it is.
Because that's a big gun.
See the video that was posted on our network page where Buddy's Beowulf failed and he got part of the bolt in the neck or something?
Ooh, no.
All of a sudden, Owen's like, Trevor, you want to come over and test fire the Beowulf?
Yeah,
do
exactly.
I? Wow. Yeah, check that out. It's interesting.
Okay. Interesting in a macabre sort of way, anyway.
Yeah, so I did up some test rounds. I haven't actually fired them. I haven't had a chance to do that, so I just have a dozen or so rounds sitting there. But they should be fine. I'm not really trying to I just want something that works. It's not really a long-range...
I'm glad you're so confident. They should be fine. I'm
they
sure they probably
fine.
Are. Matthew, here, you shoot this first.
Yeah, make sure you watch the video first.
Well, right, it's interesting
before.
Because there's a very narrow, if you look at the reloading data, there's quite a narrow margin of error for having a maximum. There's actually a minimum load specified for 50 Beowulf. And there's only a few grains of powder difference between max load and minimum load.
Yep.
So I kind of shot somewhere right in the middle.
Well, hopefully that'll work.
Yep.
In the middle is good.
But anyway, other than that, watched a little bit of the Magpul Dynamic Handgun with my wife in the evenings, kind of working our way through that.
That's cool. Is that getting her ready for the Tommy course in August?
Yeah. Just kind of a little... prep learning in the winter, we can kind of go through some basics and at least get her visualizing things and having the head knowledge, thinking about it before we actually get to the range and do it.
Well, that makes sense. That way she's not kind of overwhelmed with everything. She at least has a familiarity with the handgun.
Yep,
I think familiarity is a word. I'm going to go with it.
Yep. No, you got her. You nailed it. And we'll do lots more practice before the course.
What's she going to run?
Get her. I don't know yet.
She was going to run somebody's SR9, but somebody might have promised it to his wife instead.
I will probably consider trying to pick up another Glock 17 before then, because she shoots mine very well. It's really scary how well she shoots it.
Well, this might be a great opportunity to pick up a 19, just like you built her a short-barreled AR.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just not sure that the smaller, the shorter grip really is going to do anything for her.
It's actually not that much shorter.
Yeah.
It's not that much at all. It's only, maybe a quarter of an inch?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe a bit more than that, but it's not that much smaller. I've looked into that. It's only I don't know. Anyway,
you're saving the grip more than on the slide for sure.
Oh yeah. Think you should get her a 17, and if you do, get her a Gen 4. That way she has the, because it'll still be. The nice thing about you both having a 17 is that your mags are back and forth 100% interchangeable. Yeah. If you get her a 19, she can use your mags, but you can't use hers.
Yep. Yeah, so no, I don't see any reason not to get her a 17 unless she handles something, you know, different between now and then and decides that she likes it better.
It wasn't really about her. It was more like, here, Amy, I bought you this because it's smaller. Oh, you don't shoot it well? Okay, I'll have it. You shoot the 17. You still I thought that was clear, but
so you were trying to purchase her a bowling ball is what you're trying to do.
You got it.
No, I mean, the 19 would be cool, but I don't really see the point of it for me at this point anyway. The 17 works for everything I want. My brother-in-law has a Smith & Wesson M&P 9, which I like, so I might see if she can borrow that for a range day just to see how she likes it. But really when it comes down to it, it's probably going to be another 17 because I don't know how she can improve much on the shooting that she's doing now.
Yeah, if she's shooting it really well and if she finds it comfortable to grip and, you know, and whatnot, she can manipulate the slide, she can manipulate the safety. I almost said safety. She can manipulate the mag release, then, you know, I would think that would be a good choice for her. But you're right. Get her trying some other different guns and see if she finds something else that she likes better.
Yeah, CZ. Yep. I mean, even if it's a regular CZ 75.
CZ what?
CZ 75.
Bite your tongue, Trevor.
It's an all steel gun. It might recoil less for her.
Yeah, she doesn't have an issue with the recoil.
Yeah, but she's got nothing to compare it to.
Be strong, girl. Yeah. No, really, she's pretty strong, so she doesn't find the recoil to be any sort of an issue. She has more of an issue, you manipulating the slide, just because it is quite, you know, fairly stiff spring.
It is, yes.
You know, that's just something for her to get used to once she realizes she can be aggressive with it. You know, and be rough. A lot of people pick up guns and they treat them very tender and they're scared to be rough with them, but that's what they're made for. You know,
there's a joke in there somewhere, but I think we got
to
let that.
Yeah, I'm trying to that, but you know,
I must be sick because I'm not catching it.
Pull the slide back, and you just let it go. And you don't ride it; you just pull it back and let it slam home. Mm. Same as with pump shotguns. People pull the pump back, but you really have to run it. Same with lever guns.
Yeah,
don't be afraid to run the action.
Exactly. Yeah guns were designed to be rerun vigorously.
You mean lever guns. Yep.
Whatever. Lever lever. Potato, potato. Porsche, Ferrari. Glock, 1911. 1911, 2011.
Lever,
it's all the same
clever.
Thing.
Are those two spelled the same?
Lever and lever are spelled the same. Yes, they are.
Oh, okay. Is it a beaver or a bever?
Beaver and bever are different, yes. Don't ever confuse your beavers and your bevers. I don't even know what a bever is, but are you done, Owen?
Apparently.
Oh, good.
I want the grammar lesson for the week.
We started talking about Load and Beowulf and ended up fighting about guns for your wife. I love it.
Trevor, what did you do this week?
Nothing.
Perfect. Well, what I did was...
excuse me. Sorry. I'll mute my mic. I went through two ammo cans full of mixed brass from the Nationals that Buddy dropped off here. He wanted me to load 2,000 rounds of 40 ammo for him. And he told me that I could keep all the miscellaneous brass as long as he got the 40.
Right.
So ironically, I got a kitty litter bucket full of 9mm out of the deal, plus 38 super and 45 gap, stuff like that. And there wasn't enough 40 there to load his 2,000 rounds. Yeah. I ended up selling him 600 pieces of 40 brass for $30. So I got all of the mixed brass plus some cash to load
it.
That's,
that's good.
I don't feel
That 45 gap will come in real handy, huh?
Well, I give it to Roger, right?
He shoots 45 ACP, not gap.
No, he shoots gap in his revolver now.
Really?
Yeah, 180 grain projectile. He switched over to gap 2 years ago.
Does he have to change a cylinder for that? Or because he's running moon clips, he doesn't?
Yep.
Interesting. Is he finding it lower recoil or what?
Yep. Huh. It's accurate, too. I actually ran some gap through my Glock 21 SF that's chambered in 45 ACP.
Are you allowed to do that?
Well, I haven't rested. Like, what do you mean, am I allowed? Like, a Glock fairy's going to come? And...
I meant, like, is that safe to do?
Well, I did it, so here we are.
Okay. I'm just curious. I didn't know.
I didn't know either, but I decided to try it.
I just remember the firearm safety course saying, don't ever put any ammunition in your firearm that it's not stamped for. That's just what I remember.
See, I didn't take the course. I challenged the test.
Right? Gotcha. No, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
So, I watched a video on YouTube of this guy shooting all kinds of stuff through his Glock 17. He shot a .223 through his
Glock 17. That was Demolition Ranch, right?
I don't remember now who it was. Yeah, I think it might have been.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly.
Wow.
It worked.
I had a 40 go through my 45 once. That was interesting.
I do remember that. Yes, it expanded quite nicely and then split, if I remember right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, and then big shout out again to the Calgary Shooting Center and Jeff Reese. He put a rail in the mail for me. And we're not doing that again, no. Anyway, I tried to mount my Spark that I got from you on my 590A1 with this rail. But the machining, it comes with different height risers that you screw to the bottom of the optic that will give you different, height over bore. If you want to align it with co-witness with like an A2 front sight on an AR or something. So there's different blocks that you screw to the bottom. And of course, I wanted the lowest one possible so I could get it as close to the receiver as possible. And it wasn't machined out properly. You couldn't actually screw it down tight enough just to clamp it onto the rail. And so I tested the other mounts that came with the Spark to make sure it was the mounts and not, in fact, the rail.
Yep.
And sure enough, the other mount tightened up the way it was supposed to. So I called Vortex, and they were falling all over themselves. We're so sorry, we're so sorry, we're so sorry. We'll get that out in the mail right away, sir, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
that's good.
Yeah.
They do have a reputation for really good customer service.
Yeah, for sure. I was worried, like, okay, are they going to ask me when I bought it, where I bought it, and all this stuff? No.
Well, it was given to me, so.
Yeah, so. And then I picked up one of the club's two Lyman digital trigger scales because you and I were going to work on your Glock.
Right.
So I wanted to have that on hand when you arrived, so I decided to check all the guns in my house. And some of them were quite surprising. Two that were heavier than I thought were my 6A6 revolver in single action
mm-hmm.
and my Remington 700. You remember, Owen, you saying that single action trigger on my 6A6 was like the lightest trigger you've ever pulled?
Yeah.
It's darn near 3 pounds.
Darn near three, not three. Yeah. Seriously, 3 whole pounds?
I know.
That's still a pretty light trigger, man.
Yeah. Oh, and I think part of what makes it feel so light is it's single stage at that point. There's no mm-hmm. movement whatsoever, right? Single
and it's a fairly trigger. Wide trigger too, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a lot of that surface area really eats up what the perceived amount of pressure you're putting on it. So
yeah. And my Remington 700, the one that's in the TAC 21 chassis,
mm-hmm.
it's a single stage trigger as well. So it seems really light because there's,
no
just
take
a little
up or anything. Yeah. Yep.
But it's 3 pounds as well.
That's still not a bad trigger pull for a bolt action rifle, though.
Yeah. But, and it's a factory trigger that he tuned.
Yep.
So it's not like there's a Timony in there or something like that. So,
right.
Of course, the Mossberg is like 8 pounds.
Yeah, well.
And I had to rework the trigger on my open gun because the trigger on the open gun was actually heavier than the trigger on my STI Eagle standard division gun.
Yeah. So are they now at least close to the same?
Yeah, they're both under 3 pounds.
Oh, that's good.
They're both floating around 2.5.
Cool.
So but I'm not done with the trigger on my open gun yet. Pat Harrison there over at the other show that we do, he's pointed me in the right direction on Brownells to get some new trigger parts for this thing. And cheap, too. Like, so much cheaper than putting a trigger in a Glock.
Yeah.
You spend like $250 to put a competition trigger in a Glock. You spend $150 to put a trigger in an open gun.
I've got to spend $250 to put a trigger in my competition Glock?
Not because you're a production. I spent more than that on my standard gun.
So, yep.
Oh, I got a couple of things coming up. I attended the first meeting as vice president of the Rescuers Gun Club, and I scheduled an RO course that I'm going to I've assisted on one already, the one that Owen and Dave took, and I'm going to assist on this one and then teach the next one, and then Chris says I'll be certified to be an RO instructor. And that's going to be the February 27th, 28th, from 6 until 10 at night at my classroom. So if anybody wants to be in our area and wants to become an RO, that's when we're going to do it. We've also invited all of our club's ROs to come and receive a refresher as well, because there have been some rule book changes since some of our ROs were trained.
Well, that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. And then probably a couple of weeks before the black badge, I'm having a black badge instructors meeting so that we can discuss the standards that we want throughout the course, and what to look for and how to deal with situations as they arise, things like that, to try and make the course a bit more streamlined. There was also a debate about who we're letting into our classes from now on.
Right. So Owen's out then?
Owen's
for sure.
Out. Yeah.
And me too, right?
No, you're in.
Oh, yeah. Darn.
Yeah. So, no, not the instructors, the students. You guys.
So are you going to try to, like, include more people who are actually really interested in IPSC as opposed to just random people on the street?
Yeah, we're going to stop catering to the IPSC tourists. You know, both of you guys helped me with the one I'm. I think both of you guys helped me. For sure, Matthew, you were there.
Yep.
Yep.
You remember there was husband and wives and daughters' boyfriends, and half the class borrowed guns.
Yeah.
Didn't have licenses, and it's to no one's surprise, we have not seen these people since. To appease the pistol section coordinator, because I know that he wants to introduce the sport to everybody and their dog, and that's fine, but not everybody, you know, should be there in the course. It's not a course to learn how to shoot guns. It's a course to learn how to shoot IPSC.
That's right. So, you should already know how to shoot a gun before you go take the black badge.
Yeah. So to appease him, I met him halfway. I said, look, if you get all these people that you normally get every year, the 10 or 12 of them, that you want to sign up at a Black Badge course that don't have guns and that have never shot a gun before, if they want into the course, they have to first spend a day on the range with me. I will give them an introductory course to shooting and shooting handguns.
And how much will that cost them?
Nothing.
Because it should. Taking up your time. I mean, I understand you enjoy doing that sort of thing, but you get a bunch of them, you got to just set a date and say, this is the date. If you want to take the Black Badge course and you're borrowing a gun, you got to come on this date with me, and all of you come.
That is for sure.
Yeah, because you can't do that. Like, you'd be out there.
I can't go. You're right. I can't go, well, I'll meet you on this day, and I'll meet you on this day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's more, you want to do more of a beginner's introduction to handgun kind of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want somebody showing up there that morning having never held a gun before.
Exactly.
No, and I've seen that before, and it is scary.
Yeah, well, it's not just scary. It's not what the course is designed for, and it slows us down, right?
Yes, it does.
So, you know, come out with me. I'll have some guns there for you to try. I'll charge you for the ammo. And then if you're serious, all right, now go get yourself ready to take the class.
That's right. Yeah, when I did it, I mean, I was fortunate enough to have somebody donate a firearm and belt and stuff for me. I was an IPSC tourist. I wasn't planning on getting involved, but it was, you know, it did hook me. But when it was my turn to get my own gear, I got all my gear. I got it all sorted. And even when I took the black badge, I took it seriously. When I got the gun, I started dry firing it right away. I started watching Magpul videos. I started watching other training aids and stuff. And I learned how to hold the gun. I learned how to stand. I learned how to pull the trigger. I dry fired. I didn't do it all right. And I did learn a lot of stuff at the black badge. But when I was at the black badge, I wasn't trying to learn how to run my gun. No, I wasn't trying to learn where the safety was. I wasn't trying to learn how to take it apart and oil it. I knew that stuff. All I needed to do was learn the IPSC rules. I already knew how to shoot.
Yeah, I mean.
You were learning how to play the game.
That's right.
Yeah, not how to run a gun. Yeah. I did pretty much the same thing, Matthew. Only I fell into a really, really good deal where I got my gun, my belt, my range bag, everything I needed to shoot IPSC, all the mags for $1,100. Like,
yeah. I mean,
it was a steal of a deal. And then the first thing I did was start videotaping myself. I asked around who the best shooter was. They said Mo. I emailed them and hi, you don't know me, but.
But here's YouTube videos of me. Would you care to watch?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I bought him a bottle of scotch for his trouble.
Well, that's good.
But so when I got to the course, like you, I was ready to learn IPSC, not learn to shoot.
That's right. Cool.
So, what else? That's it.
Very good. Well, I got out hunting today with Curtis. We went and did some crow hunting. Nope. Typical results. We did manage to scare up a couple of them, and we chased them around the county for about half an hour, but we got one shot on them. Curtis took the shot and didn't hit. It was a very long shot, so it was either going to be a solid connection or a complete miss, and it was a complete miss. But that's okay. No birds were harmed in the making of that afternoon. But it was fun. I did sell my .22-45. I mentioned that last week that it was up for sale, and I did have a couple people contact me, other listeners, wondering if they could buy it. But unfortunately, it did sell very quickly on Canadian Gun Nuts, so it is gone. You can stop emailing me. What's that?
What do they go for?
They go for about $350.
Okay.
I sold mine for $475.
Oh. How did you pull that off?
I know how to sell things. When people put an ad on CGN, two lines and no picture, it doesn't matter what price you put on the gun, no one's going to buy it.
Yeah.
I put a higher price on my gun, but I put very detailed pictures. I gave a very detailed account of what the gun is, what the modifications were that were included with it. I included a video of one of the modifications that I did to it. Like, I sold the gun.
Nice.
And it worked. I marketed it. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, giving as much information as you can and presenting it in the proper way. So, anyhow, I'm glad that it's gone. It was kind of sad to see it go, actually.
That gun's been with you as long as you and I have been friends.
Yeah, a long time. Before I sent it off, I always clean my guns before I send them away, just because, you know, I just think it's the polite thing to do. So I took it all apart and gave it a really nice cleaning and oiled it back up, put it back together, and I was doing some dry firing with it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss that trigger.
Yeah.
It was a really nice trigger. So anyhow, no worries, though. It's on its way to Ontario, I think. So hopefully Roy will enjoy his new toy. Yes, that rhymes. I did manage to get my Glock 17 out to the range, and this seems like really old news, and it seems like I covered it last week, but seeing as I took it out to the range after we recorded the show last week, it isn't new to you listeners, but...
With the video has been circulating.
Video has been circulating for the last week. I really like this. The SR9 is no longer my competition pistol. I can shoot the Glock...
better.
Easily 25% better. My groups are 25% smaller with a Glock, easily, I would say.
Well, there. I'm glad I took advantage of all the wins I could last year.
Yeah, it's all over now.
Because it'll never happen again.
I don't know, man. I'm really liking it. It recoils less. It doesn't really, but it feels like it does. It's got a wider back strap, so...
I was watching for that in the video when I watched it, and huge difference. You could see a huge difference.
Yeah, it doesn't jump up as much. It doesn't. No. It's lighter too. It's a lighter gun, but it's still the way the grip is designed. I don't know. The Glock knew what he was doing, I guess, when he designed it.
Nope.
It shoots dead on. I've got sights from Owen on the way here, and it's gonna pain me to switch them out because these ones are perfectly centered right now. My very first shot that I took was exactly dead center. Do you remember that time in Ontario, Trev, when I shot with the .22? Same thing. Just absolute perfectly dead center. I was just like, oh, I don't want to shoot anymore. It'll ruin it. And of course I did. So, but awesome.
I can't wait for the three of us to shoot like a mini match or something. We'll all three of us shoot our Glocks.
Yep. That'll be fun.
That'll be fun.
Finally level playing field.
Same division. What's that, Owen?
Where's that?
Oh, I'm saying that one of the first mini matches we get to go to, like whether it be a Woodstock Black Badge or a whatever, you know.
Yeah, all three of us with the same gun,
same division.
Yep, that'll be neat. Can't wait to kick your guys' butts.
Of course, you got a big race holster compared to what Owen and I run. We run real duty holsters.
Excuse me. Yes, I'm the one with the race holster.
Yeah, this time. Owen and I are running Phobos paddle holsters.
I've got a Blackhawk paddle holster that I can wear to match you guys.
There you go.
Just to shut you up, basically.
When are you going to get a Concealment Solutions Inside the Waistband Black Mamba?
I might have to get one of those. I didn't get one for the SR9 because I just didn't know how long I was going to have it. Anyway, and it's an SR9, and, you know, I couldn't really sell the holster without the gun because it's not a very popular gun and blah, blah, blah. But now that I have a Glock, I mean, if I decided I didn't like the concealment solutions or, you know, whatever, you could sell it anywhere because it's a Glock 17. Yeah. So,
well, when you come up at merch break, you can play with both my Black Mamba and my Sidewinder, and you'll probably end up ordering both.
Well, I've got a couple of holsters on the way from Luke, so I can play with those too a little bit.
For sure.
Anyhow.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Other than that, sorry, were you going to say something, Owen?
No, I'm just saying I'm looking forward to getting my LHS as well.
Yeah.
Hoping that's going to become my main holster.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely going to be interesting to try.
If they're anything like the LHS holster I got from my Eagle guys, they will become your main holsters.
Yeah.
Beauty. Well, that's good. Other than that, I am going to be heading to Trevor's to do some load development for Jewel. Jewel initially was going to shoot the Tommy course with a 22, but I took my SR9 down to her, and I switched the back strap around, so it's now the small grip instead of the big grip. And that was part of why you felt more recoil. The big grip is very narrow, and it bit into your hand, but when you turn it around, it makes it very flat again, so I'm anticipating no problems there. But anyway, I gave it to her, and she held it, and it fit her hand not bad. And then the true test, of course, can she rack the slide? Because she can't on the Glock. Well, I forgot that I had a low recoil spring, or a low power recoil spring that I had ordered quite a while ago. It's 15 pounds instead of 18 pounds, and I popped that in before I gave it to her, and she had no problem racking the slide. So hopefully, awesome. if we can load up some low enough recoil loads for her, obviously they won't be IPSC legal, they won't meet power factor, but if it'll reliably function the gun, cycle the gun, and if they're accurate enough, I think she'll be able to run a 9mm during the course, which is going to be really good. And then don't tell her. What I'll do is I'll slowly up the powder charge as she uses the gun.
Yep.
And then eventually she'll be shooting minimum power factor, 125, and she'll be able to compete in IPSC courses if she decides it's something she's going to want to do.
I hope so.
Well, Jewel is a very... She really does love adrenaline-type sports. She really enjoys paintball. And I told her that if she enjoys paintball, she's probably going to enjoy this once she gets into it. She doesn't like the noise or the recoil, but double plugs and then start off with low recoil, and I think I can build her into this, and I think she's going to have some fun. So,
cool. Awesome.
We'll see. Other than that, I ordered 1,000 124 grain 9mm projectiles from calibers.ca, so those should be at Trevor's.
Never seen them.
In a couple of days, maybe a week. and speaking of that...
9mm this week?
What's that? I had no idea.
No.
So apparently Trevor has gotten primers for me, which I got to pay him for, so don't forget to remind me to do that, Trevor. But I also need some powder and some brass. I think powder we can probably find, right? Serge may have some.
I forgot to ask, but I have, it'll be okay for powder.
We'll probably figure something out there, but brass. Now, I've got a bunch of 2-3 brass once fired that Bolivar actually gave me. So any listeners who needs 2-3 and has a surplus of 9mm, let me know and maybe we could trade boxes. Just throwing that out there because I don't need 2-3 brass. I've got it coming out of my ears, but I don't have much 9mm brass. So just saying, if anybody knows where I can get some.
Of it, but now that I shoot open.
I know. I remember you and I used to have like... We would pick up 9mm brass together, and it would all just get tossed into a box and just left at your place. And we just kind of figured, oh, well, we'll never burn through this. But lo and behold, we did. So now we've got to start.
I've got plenty of 9, but it's all loaded.
I'll take it for the empty 2-3 brass.
You know who might have some 9mm brass is Chris Kingston.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll have to find out. All right, so upcoming events, T-shirts. If you want a T-shirt, send me your money, $25, to slamfireradio@gmail.com. EMT is best. American listeners can send PayPal, and Trevor will sort that out for you. Same address, though, slamfireradio@gmail.com. Make sure you include your name, address, color, size. Those of you who've ordered shirts and haven't paid, please pay soon. I did hear that the t-shirts would be ready yesterday, but I didn't check to see if that was actually the case. But if it is the case, I can start mailing those probably next week. So, yeah, you want t-shirts? Get on it.
And when you're here, remember to pay your next gallons.
Week. Gallons? What about gallons?
His is here.
No, I mailed gallons his.
I put it in the notes that I had one for gallon from the first order. Now we've got an extra medium.
No, I've already mailed it to him. You gave it to me already.
Oh, okay. Carry on.
Yeah. The cough syrup's kicking in there, eh, Trev?
Oh, not well enough.
All right. Charity shoot. Steve Lee is coming. That's been confirmed. Restigouche Gun Club, June 28th. The charity will be announced next week. Mario will be on, and we will be talking about that. So that is very cool.
Mario.
What?
Mario who?
Mario, host of Radio Velocité Quebec, Mario Dextres.
Awesome.
He will be on. The Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course. It is being held August 2nd and 3rd, also at the Restigouche Gun Club, being instructed by the one and only Tommy Nelson, that you will be listening to in about 30 seconds, because we got him on to talk about the course. The next day will be an IPSC match. It'll be a club-level IPSC match, so no black badge required. Come on out and shoot that with us if you like. And don't forget about the multi-gun, August 16th and 17th. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. So, unless you two have anything else to say, we are going to roll into the talk that we had with Tommy.
Pay us now.
Pay? Oh, yes, please. Well, we talk about that with Tommy, so...
I know. Pay us now.
All right. Pay us now anyway.
Pay us now.
Joining us now, we've got Tommy Nelson of the Gun Guys. Gun Guys? Gun?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Yeah, yep. Something
Tactical
like that.
Tactical Tom.
Tactical Tommy from the Gun Dudes, actually, is who we have here. So welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you. I can't live that one down. Tactical Tom. I actually signed the Mag 40 target Tactical Tom, because otherwise no one knows. Tom Nelson is that.
Yeah.
When Gail Pepin is even calling you Tactical Tom, you're done. Forget it. You might as well get it tattooed.
No, I know, and it's yeah. So it's what it is.
Yeah.
Six years in, you're already branded, so you might as well not even try to.
Do you have a shoulder thingy that goes up?
I do have a barrel shroud. Yes.
That does make you tactical. That's all you need to be tactical. Is that?
Yep. And I got a 30. I got a 30 magazine clip or whatever.
Yeah, and get yourself a ghost gun. You'll be all set.
Yeah, no kidding. I got a friend who's making a 80% lower, and he works at a CNC machine shop. So he's just like, we just took him shooting, and then he's just right now like, man, I want to get an AR. Oh, these 80% lowers are cheap. That's kind of cool. I got a CNC machine. I'll just do it. So
nice. That works.
Isn't Carl getting one too? Carl's building one, isn't he?
Yeah, Carl's building one. I think he's going to do it with the jig, but I might try to get these two guys connected together because just plugging it into a CNC machine and just press go, you know, and just having it drill it all out, that's got to be the best.
Yeah, a friend of mine's done some of that, and he had the jig and he didn't find it worked that great. He ended up buying a small milling machine in order to do it.
That's cheap.
Yeah, well, actually his was actually decently cheap, but he didn't find the jig work very good. It was hard to be accurate and do a nice job.
Yeah, that's just I'm cool with it, but honestly, like sitting there thinking about the headache and then getting the jig and then doing all that stuff, I'd rather just pay the extra $30 and get the freaking.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's
or just have your listeners send you one for free. That's what I did.
Yeah. What's the advantage, Tom? It's off the books?
Yeah. You can't transfer it, but it has no serial numbers and it's so it just sits there. As long as you don't try to transfer it, you're good.
Okay.
So if you want to transfer it later, go to the CNC machine and, you know, make, you know, 5 zeros and a 1.
Right.
You know.
Then you've got a serial number then.
We are so far off topic.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, we invited Tommy on this week to talk about ghost guns.
Basically.
Yes.
Matthew, please save us from ourselves.
Never.
I'm trying to get my trigger finger down to 30 rounds in half a second. So those mini guns on the aircraft carriers they use to shoot, flying by planes and cruise missiles, those will do 33 rounds in half a second. So
Yeah, I mean, it's that extra three that really makes them that much more deadly.
Yeah. So it's what it is.
Very nice. Well, we do have you on the show this week to talk about the upcoming training course that you're flying up to Canada to do for us. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What it is, who you are. Well, we know who you are. What your company is, your training company, and you know, just give us the details.
Okay, so I think we're doing this on August 2nd and 3rd, and what we're going to be doing is a basic kind of fundamentals handgun course. So if you guys don't know me, I've been doing Gun Dudes for the past 5 years, and so I've gotten a lot of experience, done a bunch of stuff, took some courses and whatnot, and been shooting IDPA for another 5 years, masterclass SSP shooter, and then expert in all the other semi-automatic divisions, revolvers, who cares?
Amen.
So, I mean, when they come out with laser pistols, you know, and all our kids are shooting laser pistols, we'll be the old guys, you know, semi-automatic enthusiast, you know.
You notice so, Trevor's the only one not laughing. He just got his 686 revolver back, so he's like, "Shut up, guys! I hate you."
Well, he's got everything else. What's he needs something, you know? So the good thing is the magazine costs for those things are pretty cheap. So, but anyways. Been doing a lot of shooting and kind of picked up on a lot of key things to make beginning shooters better. And I kind of have like this – I take a lot of people shooting. I took a police officer who's kind of worried about his qualifications out a few months ago. And we worked through that. But basically, like what I've kind of understand and seen how to teach people, and that's the main thing is teaching people, is getting accuracy in like 8 minutes, doing a whole tune-up, getting people where they want to hit. And then not only that, but progressing them up to hitting what they want at speeds – constantly increasing the speeds and efficiency of it. So that's what we do. My company is Practical Armed Response. So, and just basically affordable training at a minimal round count. When we fly up there, we're going to shoot a little bit more because it's you know, it's funner. It's more good.
No, funner is the right word. Yeah, more yeah, funner, I think, is what you're looking for.
More good. Yeah. And so that's what we're going to be working on is basically a fundamental pistol class, but when we talk about fundamentals, it's not only hitting targets, but it's actually traversing between targets and then how to sit there and go through and shooting them. And then we'll have the great honor of watching Mr. Furlot shoot an IPSC course, and we can probably sit there and pick his brain on how to do that. But the fundamentals of the shooting and the moving and all that stuff will be done the day before, and then that Sunday we'll be I guess playing a game without a rule book and bullet hosing targets, so it'll be great.
Playing a game without a rule book. Close enough.
So how would you, if you had to, maybe, I don't know if I can't remember if I asked you this before, but would you say that somebody coming to this course should have some fundamental basics? What do people need to know before they come pick up a pistol and take this course?
They need a basic understanding of pistol safety. Well, of course, we'll cover, you know, safety and all that stuff, but basically that's all they need. We'll start progressing kind of rapidly, but we'll go through all the fundamentals because even though we might be experienced shooters, when we go back to the fundamentals, the way that we actually kind of grip the gun or, you know, line up the sights or press the trigger may be completely different from how you've learned than what I'm teaching you, or what might be another way to look at it or think about it, which will actually help you address it in a better, more efficient fashion.
So when you teach, do you teach the my way is the only way and you can't do anything else?
No, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, all of us.
However, he does have a no 1911s rule.
Oh, I do like that rule. Although, did you see my new 1911? I posted it up on Facebook there. I noticed the Gun Dudes actually shared, the Gun Dudes page shared my picture of my new 1911.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
It looks remarkably like a Glock.
Well, I mean, potato, but.
I am in that potato. Glock 41. But no, you can absolutely bring 1911s. I happen to like 1911s, and there's pistols that I grab that just fit right for me, and a 1911 really fits right for me. I really found that feeling in that CZ75 I got just really just fits right. The only problem I have with 1911s is just that you just really have to sit there and be into it. I mean, you really got to go out there. I mean, we had some students take Mag 40s in the years past, and they bring 1911s and watching a bunch of matches. And the funniest thing is the 9mm 1911s. But anyways, we'll be shooting a match, and it'll be like 7, 8 shot loads, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then just like That's when the curse words come out because, you know, they've locked up the gun. They got to strip it. And so basically when I started thinking about shooting CDP, the custom defensive pistol, I was just like, man, if I get a Glock or a Smith & Wesson, I'm automatically going to have like a 20-second advantage over everyone else. But then you look at the guys who actually sit there and use a 1911 and know their gun very well. There's no stopping the guys.
Right.
So it's all in how much time you put into it. But they are a more time-intensive gun. They're not as lazy and sloppy as the polymer stuff that we like to shoot.
Right.
Cool. So I just was asking just mainly because, you know, I don't actually shoot guns. I just talk about it on the radio. So
he's the new Mike Dixon of the podcast.
Don't give away our secrets, Owen. Don't give away our secrets.
No, I know a couple of people that may be there that don't have a lot of experience, and they're very nervous and concerned about, you know, whether it's going to be too advanced for them, so to speak. So.
No, it's not going to be because basically the first part of the class, first core of the class is much, much more of a kind of a slow fire, take your get your hits kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. And so good. As long as the one thing that they really have to be aware of is, of course, you know, muzzle discipline and trigger control. The good thing about those people ours is they'll be very used to it. They'll be so amped up, eye on the barrel, don't make a fool out of yourself, don't get kicked out of the class, that they normally won't be a problem. Yep. You know, you'll get some of the guys who like turn to the right, look at me, and then, you know, they'll sweep the gun over or whatever. But with pistols and holsters and everything like that, as long as we holster and come to and get the guns cleared, that's when we'll come together. So it'll be a stress-free environment.
So tell me, what do people need to bring? Now we know what they need to know. What do they need to bring?
Functional semi-automatic pistol, revolver.
I like how you said functional.
Functional.
No 1911s.
I've gone to high points. I bring two guns to every match, class, or whatever I take because I just do not want the damn thing to take a crap on me. Right. Even though none of them really have, I really don't want that issue to happen. So functional semi-automatic pistol. Okay, 3 magazines, holster, of course. Good sturdy belt that you'd be using in concealed carry, any type of pistol gear. If you guys are like USPA shooters or IPSC shooters, IDPA shooters or whatever, bring the kind of gear that you're used to shooting in your game. And if you want to be all tacked out or whatever, cool too, it doesn't matter. So bring the gear that you need, of course, all the stuff that you need, water, you know, sunscreen, all that jazz. But come prepared to basically spend a day out on the range and just bring the guns and ammo and about 500 rounds of ammunition. You know, so we'll probably go through about 350 of it, 300 rounds during the class, and the next day when we shoot our IPSC match, we'll use up the rest. So it'll be a blast.
Awesome.
Cool. That'll be fun.
Did you say 350 rounds for the course?
We're going to bring 500. We might use 300, right. 350, but...
300, okay. Yep. I just wasn't sure because I'm not going to be there the next day for the course. I just need to know.
You just need to know what it is for the one.
That's a lot of shooting for someone, you know, for people who aren't used to shooting that much. I mean, it doesn't bother me any. I mean, with the black badge and stuff, I'm used to that and shooting nationals and things. But for people who aren't used to shooting that much, that's a fair bit. So that'll be fun.
See, what I like to do is I like if we plan at that 300 mark, even if we shoot 210 or whatever, people don't feel disappointed. And especially if we have and we get done. At the end of the course, I like to set up different types of drills, and so we'll go through the drills as a class pretty efficiently as best we can. But after we're done with the class and we conclude, I mean, there's still a lot of things that we can pick up, and we can see each other shoot and kind of pick up different notes of what we're doing. And so if people want to bring ammunition for afterwards, I think that's always a good plan. But we will definitely try to get through the basics in all the classroom right south of 300. But more ammo and more time live fire is good, because what I found out is when you go take a class, the first 200, 250 rounds is almost kind of a break-in. Really freaking sharp after you start shooting 300-400 rounds. By the day after, that last 50 rounds will probably be the best rounds you've fired, because I remember taking classes, you know, shooting 1,200 rounds, and after 600 rounds, you feel geared up.
Oh, yeah.
And you just feel sharp.
Yeah, I can see that. I've seen carryover from some other martial arts and things that I've done that. Where that's the case, you know, in the first hour you're there, even though you're more tired later on, you're still relying more on your technique and muscle memory, and you actually tend to do better and fight smarter. So
a lot of reps and 8 hours of sleep will make you a much better shooter or whatever you're trying to make.
Yep.
And it's always more fun when, you know, you have ammo left over at the end of the day and you have to shoot everything as much as you wanted, as opposed to running out of ammo and wishing you could shoot more.
Yeah, that's always irritating.
Trying to bum the last, like, giblets of someone else's magazine. Yeah. Hey, man, you got three.
Can I have your spares? Any spare 9mm?
Go ahead and just rack that on the ground. I'll pick that up later. Thanks, guys.
Unload and show clear. No, unload your magazine, too.
Yeah, yeah.
No, put it in this bag. It's mine.
So, no, it'll be definitely a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of focus on hitting small targets and hitting targets at distances. And so that's what I really want to stress on people. But not only hitting those targets, but hitting where you want to hit on those targets. Of course, if we put a silhouette out 50 yards, you know, we're happy if we hit the target. But a lot of great shooters, they'll put, you know, something like an IPSC A-zone out there at 100 yards or 50 yards, and they'll really do their best to put shots on those things. And so that's what we kind of want to do. And then amping up the speed and slowing down, it's going to be pretty much basically, if you thought about, a conditioning workout for pistol shooting.
Yeah, neat. Sounds like fun to me.
Yep, I'm in.
I guess. If I have to hang out on a gun range with guys that are buddies and shoot guns, I will.
Well, that's what I'm really looking forward to, the longer range stuff, because that's where my ability certainly break down.
Yeah, close. What are some of the distances we're going to be shooting at there, Tommy?
I mean, if we could get out, it's not going to be required, but if we can get the range out as or like a good piece of steel, I like having like a piece of steel at 100, just for the whole class or whatever, call on a name, have that person take a shot at that. What people don't realize is just the perception. The target is, I mean, if we sat there and shot 1-inch circles on paper all day and then told you to go shoot 100 yards, chances are you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. It's more of a perception problem. A lot of shooting is perception on what we actually think about it. You know, pistol guns, as pretty much we could get into the math and all that stuff, but pretty much is line of sight is where the bullet's going to be impacting. Even at 100 yards, it's not dropping or moving too much. And so it's when we go through and we get through the perception, all of a sudden people see that they're actually hitting targets, small things at, you know, 7 yards, 3 yards, 10 yards. They're making all their A's at 15. When they line up and take that shot at that 100 yards, all of a sudden they're landing on there. It's a big confidence booster. I hit a target, you know, at 100 yards with a pistol. That's fantastic. But the real goal is to make that 7, the, you know, 25, 3 to 25 yard range just very effective for the shooter.
Well, what else do we got for him?
Oh, we get to talk money.
Oh yeah, I guess we should tell people how much it is, when to pay.
You guys are hosting the class, so why don't you? I'll be the gracious instructor, and you guys will be the hard money men.
All right, that sounds like a job for Trevor.
Yep, I will catch you if you don't pay.
No, tell us what the.
I know. I work. Joke info. That was the joke. Now the
so
info.
So he's the joke, and I've got the info.
Gotcha.
Zip it, LARPer man. Of course, it's $200.
Wow. Wait. Didn't we advertise this as being $250?
Well, that's, you know how that works, right? And now look how happy they are.
Wow. I'm happy.
They thought maybe they were going to pay as much as $250. Turns out we can pull it off for $200. You have until now, so stop what you're doing and send us an EMT right now. Go ahead, pause the show.
Yeah.
You're back? Good. Okay. You have from now until March 15th to pay. That gives you, you know, just about a month to pay. If you cancel, as long as you do it before the 1st of July, you will receive a full refund. If you cancel after the 1st of July, don't ask for a refund. You're not getting it.
Yeah. It's only because we need the time to get another student in place. I mean, we have an obligation to with this. We have a financial obligation here, so we need that. Now, if after July, we can work this on a case by case, but if you call us up and say, I can't come, but so-and-so can, is that cool? I mean, we're going to work with you.
Yep.
So, I mean, one thing is that jerks. Well, Trevor is, but yes, the rest of us aren't.
That's right.
The deals, you know, the course is pretty much sold out. And so what happens, we just see a lot happens, is the course is sold out. People go, oh, it's already sold out. I can't even get into it.
Right.
And someone pulls out, but no one ever goes back to look to see if that course is opened back up again. So,
well, with that being said, we have good news. Everyone is in.
That's right. We had two people on our waiting list, and they're now in, and possibly one, maybe two more can come.
Well, we're at 14, so I don't know.
Possibly. I said possibly.
So we're at 14. I don't know.
So if it's... basically is the course is still full, but now there's nobody on the waiting list.
Yep, you're all in. Congratulations.
So. Everyone, thank gracious Trevor for volunteering to step onto the line and help me out on the line.
Thanks, Trev.
Hats off, buddy.
Yeah. Whatever.
No,
whatever.
Take the hat off, really.
So gracious.
Yeah, that's me. I'm always thinking of my fellow man.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sure you are, Hector. We know you are.
Oh, that's, that's funny. Yeah. So, yeah, that reminds me. I'll be stepping out of the course to attend my 20-year high school anniversary reunion.
When?
During the course. Saturday night. Yeah,
Saturday night. Oh, that's after the shooting's done anyway.
It's an anti-reunion. Is that like you graduate and they give you a wife?
No, it's not one of those kind of communities, pal.
Okay. I had a question and I lost it because you guys with your tomfoolery. See what I did there? Tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery.
Nice.
My question is, what are we going to be doing Friday night after the shooting's done? Do we have any organization planned?
There is nothing going on Friday night, Matthew.
Saturday night.
Or Saturday night is what I meant.
Yeah, I'm going to my high school reunion.
Yeah, well, we're not. What are the rest
of us
doing?
And we're all tagging along.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
trash it.
My house is definitely open. We've got a nice big backyard. We've got a nice big patio back, barbecue. I think we should all get together here. And I'm not making turtle burgers, but.
But Owen will, right?
Yeah. We could.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will find something roaming the streets, kill it, grind it up, and cook it.
Giddy up.
I am absolutely game for anything on us.
Game for that.
Game. I will bring game. I will do my best to bring game.
I'm going to bring my game. Bring my A game.
So, yeah, everybody's invited back to my place for a soiree.
All right. So that'll be fun. Soiree at Trevor's. And then Sunday, of course, is the IPSC match, which will be fun. And this is going to be a club level or a mini match, as we call them here in Restigouche sometimes. It's not going to be black badge required. Otherwise, some of the participants who just took the course the day before wouldn't be able to attend. So it'll be open for everybody. Like you, yeah. So, yeah, everybody can shoot the IPSC match the next day, so come on out. Even if you don't come out for the course and you want to shoot the IPSC match, hang out with Tommy, come on out, and we'll be glad to have you, and we'll have some fun. We'll do some shooting, blow some
stuff
up.
We'll get Trevor an honorary squire to hold his magazines and everything.
Oh, very nice.
Mag 40 all over again.
Everyone gets a squire in a mag class.
Yeah. Tommy, load these for me, would you? Or was that Carl? I had Carl at my side there for a while,
I think,
too.
Carl loaded yours.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So.
Yeah, I just don't think he actually thought that I knew how to do it. He was, oh, look at the Canadian. Let me help you with that.
You know, you can put in more than 10. You see, Trevor's just loading his 17-round mags up to 10. What? That's all I'm allowed to have.
Yeah.
Mac classes use six.
Six
per magazine.
Oh.
But the thing on this last one, I had, like, 10 rounds left over, and I told the guy who was helping me load the last one to 10, just in case if I have a malfunction, I can make up the shots. And right. I took the rounds. I must have shot 64 rounds because I was just like, man, just kept front sights, trigger, press, front sights, trigger, press. Eventually, I didn't count the shots, and so I think I fired more than I had to, so I'm happy that none of them went out.
And you still got your 300.
Yeah, by the hair of my chinny chin perforated line, you know.
That's okay. Trevor got one of those, too. I still make fun of him over it.
Yeah. Well,
I look at that, I'm like, look at that, man. You really only got 299. I mean, really. And he's like, no, I broke the line. I'm like, yeah, break the line. Shmake the line. Come on.
Hey, man, breaking the line works. You know, as Matt said, you know, if it lacerates the heart, it still hit the heart.
I suppose. That's a pretty big heart that his target had there, then.
What did you get? Matthew?
I got a perfect score is what I got because I didn't go.
all right,
shut it.
No. Here's the deal. Owen and Matt have to shoot one. Of course, it won't be for official score, but you guys will shoot one.
All right.
Matt
I'm
tried
in.
It once already. We went to Ontario last year for the charity shoot, and Bolivar, host of he's on a show with Ken Kowalski now. Modern Rifleman Radio. I'm not sure if you heard it yet or not, Tom. But anyway, he wanted us to shoot the Mag 40 qualifier. And so we did. And yeah, when it was done, Matthew's like, oh, wait, that was for real? That was serious? We were actually keeping score?
Uh-huh. They put up targets, and I was just shooting.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'll do a 300. That's no problem. Now, see, I've solved the problem, as you guys heard earlier in the show before Tommy came on. See, this is editing magic. That hasn't happened yet, guys, but just so you know. Yeah, my new Glock shoots lights out.
Nice.
Yeah, way more accurate than my Ruger SR9. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm confident I could do a 300 now easy.
What was that, Tommy?
My Glock do that?
You really notice a big difference in that?
Oh, huge difference. Huge. I could not believe the difference. I didn't notice it until I shot the two firearms side by side. I've been shooting Glocks recently. I shot Trevor's when I went over there to visit him a couple weeks ago, and I didn't really notice a difference. But when I shot them side by side, it's, oh man, it is way different.
Is it like a grouping issue, or is it like the SR9 grouping to one side or the other, or is it just
Like a shotgun?
I do group better with the Glock, but it's not necessarily more accurate. It's that I can handle, or I can manage the recoil in the Glock way better. The back of the grip of the SR9, it comes to a point. There's a grip insert that you can turn around, and it doesn't round out the entire back of the grip. It's a narrower contact point on your hand, and that means less grip, and it also means more recoil, or more perceived recoil. And also, the front of the grip has very, very mild serrations, and the gun, like, I didn't notice it before, but after I started shooting the Glock, I noticed that the SR9 really moves around in my hand, whereas the Glock, it stays where I leave it. You know, I shoot the gun, and I don't have to readjust anything. My grip is still good, and it shoots so much better.
Hmm.
So it's not the gun as much as it is you. I mean, it is the gun to an extent, but
it's the design of the back strap.
Gun fits you better.
The Glock fits me better, and
it's not inherent accuracies in the gun as much as it is just
my ability to shoot it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had skinnier hands, or if I had more grip tape on the SR9, or if the SR9 had better checking in the front, maybe that would. Yeah. But I don't know.
See, what you should do is just take the frame of the SR9 and dip it in epoxy, and then put your hand around it till it hardens.
Yeah. Then I'm good.
And it's going
to
fit.
Of course, I won't be able to go anywhere but to and from the range, and that's if my hand's in a locked box. But, you know, other than that, I'm good. That'd be great at IPSC matches.
I get no recoil on this thing, man. I got this thing locked down like a vice.
Yeah, could you reholster that? No problem. Okay, take your hand off. Nope.
You're disqualified. Get out of here.
Dang it. But, yeah. So anyway, yeah, we're coming up to our 30 minutes here with Tommy. So any final questions or comments you two clowns have for him? I'm talking to you and Trevor. You and Owen and Trevor and you. I guess if I look at you on my computer screen, you don't know that I'm talking to you, right, Trevor?
Huh?
All right.
No, we're good. I don't think there's anything else for Tom. There'll be, you know, some background stuff that we'll take care of along the way. But yeah,
my only question is, are we there yet?
I can't wait. I'm getting excited for
really
this.
Really looking forward to this.
It will be fun.
For the participants, just so you know, once we get your money, we'll add you to an email distribution list, and we'll send you updates as things change, or information that you need to know, reminders to bring things with you, etc. Okay. Or actually, maybe we'll make a Facebook page about it.
We can make an event. I don't know. Yeah. We'll figure that out, probably. And if not,
it'll be good times, no matter what happens.
Yeah. For sure.
Cool. All right. Well, anyway, sounds like a great time. Can't wait to see you in August. So thanks again for joining us, Tommy. We'll catch you later.
It was my pleasure, guys. It's always fun.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All right. Well, once again, we do want to thank Tommy for coming on and talking to us a little bit about his course. I'm very excited to have him come and to take this course with him. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
You were so excited. I've never heard you squeal like a girl like that.
Ah, I know. It's really kind of embarrassing.
And jump up and down and clap your hands together.
Yeah. I didn't realize my webcam was on. Sorry. Anyway, that brings us into listener feedback, and we've actually got a couple. I do want to say we have been light in the mailbag recently, and I don't know if that's because everybody's forgotten how to type or if they just thought that we won't read your email, but we will. Send us an email, send us a question, comment.
Even send us hate mail.
Hate mail is fun, too. We always give that to Trevor. Even if it's addressed to Owen, we change the name Owen to Trevor and then pass it on to him. He's like, what do you mean I hit people with sticks? I've never said that. But it does make himself cry himself to sleep at night, and so it's worth it all in the end.
There's one on the list for everybody.
I hit people with sticks last week.
Did you?
Actually, yeah.
Did you get that go? Done too?
No.
How'd the stick hitting go?
Good. I think I still got it.
Yeah?
I was worried. It'd been like 2 years since I'd been in armor, and I went to this practice, and there was guys there that were in armor every week.
And so, you were still able to hold your own.
They're like, oh crap, he's back.
I still kicked their butt. So yeah, no, I was very sore the next couple of days, though. I definitely I'm a little bit out of shape.
Yeah.
So the strength was there, it was just not used to doing it for that, for 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever.
Right.
So I was pretty sore. But
cool. Did you bring any guns?
No.
No guns. All right. So it doesn't actually relate to the show. That's too bad. That would have been cool, though.
I brought these guns.
This way to the gun show.
Yeah.
No. Well, speaking of guns, why don't you bring us this first email from Aaron?
Okay. Aaron says, good day, guys. I've been listening for a while now and really like your show and its content. I'd like to make some suggestions, if I may. So really, he doesn't like the content.
Because he wants us to change right off the bat. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's like, I really like your show, but could you change it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, we won't. All right, this next email comes to us from...
That's kind of like, when you get married, your wife says, oh, I love you so much. And then immediately she tries to change you.
That's right. Please put on pants.
That's what I said to Christina.
That she should put on pants?
Yeah, that was the joke.
Okay. Just making sure.
Don't make me explain them.
Funny in my way.
So he goes on to say, our gun culture in Canada is seeing a resurgence, which is fantastic, but we can't let off the gas. I know Trevor starts to twitch every time politics is brought up, but it really does need to be talked about.
Not on this show.
If the discussion ends, then things stay the same or get worse, neither of which is acceptable. Remember, silence is consent. And as Trevor said the other week, we can't break the law because this adds to our silence. I'm not trying to tell you what to put on your show.
But I am.
But you're one of the only Canadian shows, and these things really matter to Canadians.
Okay, I got to stop you right there, and I actually agree with you, and I'm going to just ignore Trevor's suggestions. I think we do need to bring a little bit of politics back onto the show.
You know what, though?
I think we do.
When something is...
Wait, what? You're agreeing with me? See, I was ready to defend my position here.
No.
And you're agreeing with me.
Because we are doing it. We just don't do it every week. When something comes up that's relevant and current, we do cover it. We don't have a dedicated, it used to be called on CRR, the State of Firearms Ownership in Canada,
right,
where you're never going to see a weekly segment. But whenever something comes up that's worth talking about, we need to bring to your attention, absolutely we'll cover it. But
now here's the thing, though. I do think that we need to look for those a little bit more, because a couple of things have happened recently that we haven't covered. For instance, the Liberal Party has come out with one of their directives or mandates or whatever they promises, whatever. They want to bring the long gun registry back if they get back into power. And they have a bunch of other gun laws they want to put into place. And they call it similar to Australia's gun laws. Well, that would be horrible, because Australia's gun laws, if you've ever heard Steve Lee on this show, they're dumb. They're really, really dumb. They don't make any sense at all. They're even worse than ours. They're even worse than New Jersey's. A little shout out to New Jersey there.
But Second Amendment Foundation.
Yeah, in the Second Amendment. That's right. So, seriously, like, we do have to bring this back a little bit, and I think we will. Thank you for the suggestion, Aaron.
Especially as we get closer and closer to an election,
mm-hmm.
to become more and more relevant to talk about.
That's right.
He goes on to say, one other thing. There are three primary demographics that opposing our sensible alternatives to the current gun laws here in Canada. I think that are opposing our sensible alternatives to the current gun laws here in Canada. Women, although this is quickly changing everywhere.
And you can send hate mail to Aaron at gmail.com.
Law enforcement, an uphill battle for sure. Liberals / NDP, not too much hope unless we convince the masses. I know you have had some ladies from the U.S. on the show, but have you ever thought about any members from the other two groups? Of course, they would have to be enthusiasts as well, but that would be uber cool. As you can tell, I'm kind of passionate about this and have been since 98. I can see changes coming. Take care, guys, and keep it up. And when you come out Alberta way, drop me a line. And that is from Aaron.
Matthew interviewed a liberal once.
I did. That was the you can check that out on Glock Day, CRR show Glock Day. Also, it's on my YouTube channel if you want to check that out too. But yeah, we've had liberals on. We need to. Well, here's the thing, and we're going to get a little political here just for a couple of minutes. The conservatives have widely been regarded as gun owners' friends, and I think that's a misconception. They're not our friends. They're simply our smallest enemy.
Yes.
They have not actually kept their promise. Their initial promise was to scrap C-68, and they're not doing that. And from everything I can tell, they're not planning on doing that. Because of this, a lot of gun owners are now upset with the conservatives and are saying they're not going to vote for them. Well, that's basically cutting off your nose to spite your face, because the other two not only are not going to reverse C-68, but they're also going to impose a bunch of other really bad laws. So we do need to stay with the conservatives, only because they're our smallest enemy. But the other thing we can do, and this is going to be hard, but we need to infiltrate the Liberals and the NDP, and we need to let them know that gun owners aren't the problem, and if only they would change their stance on this, they could get way more votes. And as soon as we get the parties fighting for us, the more they're going to want to do for us to secure our votes, and the better off we're going to be in the end.
That's it. I'm signing up for the Liberal Party so I can make change from within.
Well, that you laugh, but that's one thing that can be done. It literally can be.
Yep.
And I went on to the... Oh, I don't know how my browser history is going to ever live this down, but I went on the Liberal website, and they had a discussion about the new gun laws that they want to bring into place. And every single comment... Now, bear in mind, you can only comment if you're a member of the Liberal Party. Every single comment on that page said, "You're an idiot. Don't change the gun laws. This is dumb. Law-abiding citizens aren't the problem. Criminals are." So we've already got a bunch of card-carrying liberals who are on our side. We need more. And we need this also in the NDP. We also need this in the Green Party. We also need this on all of the parties. We need gun owners in there saying, "Listen, guys, here's the common sense here. Turn around. You have this massive, quote-unquote, army of gun owners that you could use for votes if only you would appease them."
You know what? It's timely. We should try and get Tony on to discuss this.
Hey, you're in charge of interviews.
All right.
So here's what people have to do. They have to infiltrate the Liberals, join and donate to the Libertarian Party, and vote for the Conservatives.
That's probably the best bet, yeah. It would be nice to get the Libertarian Party into power. Now, that, unfortunately, is probably at least a decade away, if not more.
Yes.
They're growing, but growing slowly. People are slowly starting to realize that less government is better, but it's going to take a long time to convince the masses. But we can work from within with the other two parties in opposition, and that can be done fairly easily. We just need people who care to step up and actually do it.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
So, and listeners, go ahead, Owen.
I was going to say, being vocal about it to the conservatives certainly can help, because at least they're sensitive. They know we're here, and they definitely still want our votes.
Oh, they certainly do.
They need them.
But they are going to keep our votes in their minds by not giving us what we want, by promising to do something and then not actually do it, saying we'll do that next election. And you notice as soon as they got into power, they did keep their promise. They scrapped the long gun registry. And what have they done since then? Nothing. Yeah. They won't do anything until the next election because they're counting on our votes. They're going to move slowly on this, and they're doing it on purpose. It's a tactical move. I understand it is politics, but it's not helping us out.
Can you imagine, oh my God, the devastation if they try and introduce Australian-style legislation? You know what it's going to cost?
Oh, an inordinate amount of money. And not only that, it's going to really put a dent in the Canadian firearms economy. And not only that, it's going to really make it hard for law-abiding citizens to get out and just even go hunting with their favorite rifle. For those of you who don't know, Australian gun laws have like four categories. And basically the what we would term non-restricted for them includes 22s and shotguns, basically, and no semi-autos. Everything has to be either pump action, or no pump actions either, bolt actions or lever actions. Like it's ridiculous. You can't go, Owen, you wouldn't be able to take your shotgun goose hunting without having a special license for it.
Yep.
Like they've got really, really messed up laws, and they don't help at all. As we all know, gun laws do not help.
The antique revolver class in IPSC will just explode with new members.
It certainly would.
Everyone will be shooting 11mm antique French revolvers.
Webleys and whatnot. Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, this next one, Trevor, can you bring this to us?
Do I have to?
You don't have to. I can read it if you want.
Okay.
All right, news story sent in by Archie Perry. So welcome back, Archie Perry. We've missed you. I know you used to send in stuff all the time, but I'm glad you're finally back.
He works a lot.
He must. A 55-year-old rabbit hunter from Nova Scotia's Digby Corner, or Digby Country.
County.
Trevor, are you sure you don't
want
to read this?
I should read it, yeah.
From Nova Scotia's Digby County, is recovering from an attack by a cranky owl Tuesday night. Kevin O'Neill said he... A typical last name for Nova Scotia's Digby County, I believe, is O'Neill. Said he was checking on his snares on shore after a day of lobster fishing when he saw an owl in a nearby tree. I kind of looked up at it jokingly and said to it, "You bugger, you better not be eating my rabbits," he said. A few minutes later, O'Neill says he heard a whoosh coming at him from the dark. It swooped down and struck me right in the face, feet first, he said. Drove three of its talons into my forehead and the other three around my right eye. One in the corner, one in my eyebrow, and one around the corner of my nose. The blood just started running out of me. It knocked me down. O'Neill said he was carrying a shotgun and turned it on the owl as it returned to the tree. The owl didn't attack again, so he walked out of the woods without firing. That's one lucky owl is all I can say, he said. I think that's one lucky O'Neill, if you ask me, because shooting an owl is a federal offense, if I'm not mistaken.
Self-defense, man.
I suppose if it flew, I guess if it flew at him again.
Yeah, he's got the marks to show the first attack.
You're right. O'Neill says he thinks the bird, likely a barred owl, might have been protecting a nest. He has several cuts around his eye, but said 2 days after the attack, he's recovering well. It was pretty freaky, he said. It was different. Yes. way to understate it. It was different.
It was different.
It's not going to exactly be a walk in the park there, or licking an
different
ice cream
than,
cone.
What I want to know is different than what?
Yeah.
Different from...
Different than being attacked by a crow or different than being attacked by a pigeon?
O'Neill said he's an avid woodsman and photographer who loves nature, just not when it comes that close.
He almost lost an eye.
Oh, man. That's
different.
Crazy.
You're pretty laid back in Nova Scotia, huh?
It was different. Are you all right? Well, it was different. Are you okay? Well, it was different.
He wasn't protecting a nest. He or she was protecting a food supply.
So the snared rabbits. Best gun.
Matt's never been attacked in the woods.
Shut up, jerk. What's the best gun defense or defense gun for owls?
We better put it on CGN. It'll be a Wednesday topic.
It can be Wednesday because we've got bear defense, right? We need owl defense now.
Owl defense Wednesday.
Yep. 12 gauge really is. You got to go with a 12 gauge. Number 6 shot probably, 3.5-inch Magnum. Those crows or those owls are tough. Please don't go out and shoot owls, people. You will get in trouble.
It's not. Unless it's Harry Potter's owl.
Right. Well, he got avacadabra'd by some wand anyway and died in the end, so don't worry about it. He's already dead.
He's already dead.
I'm sorry I know that. I really am. Please keep listening.
You knew which witch or warlock that took out. I do,
but I'm not going to say it out loud on the show.
What's the owl's name?
The owl's name? Yeah, I'm not going to say that out loud in the show either.
But you know, right?
Yeah.
Mancard.
I'm sorry. Ooh. You can punch it.
All right.
I can't help it. I just had to watch a marathon a couple of weeks or months ago with Jewel, so it's all fresh in my memory still. Ooh. It's really too bad. I guess that brings us to the iTunes review.
You guys didn't get it, but anyway.
What did you say?
I just sat here asking you who.
Who?
Oh. Oh, wow. That's
I'm awesome. Sorry. We didn't get it. See, Trevor's sick, and I was surfing iTunes. All right, iTunes review of the week. This one does come to us from an American listener, and I have to say, this is the first time I've managed to get my iTunes to point to the American feed, and the Americans, they leave way better reviews than Canadians. So Canadians, you got to step it up. You've left Canadians more, Canadians. You've left 43 where the Americans have only left 13. So Canadians, you got the quantity, but Americans, you've got the quality. And here's a perfect example of it. 60% of the time, it's good every time. By Friar Duck.
Oh, that's awesome.
I usually don't use iTunes, but I have caught every episode over the past 2 months, and I figured I would warn the iTunes population. This podcast is much like drinking a bottle of whiskey. It always starts out fun, but then you wake up with a bloody nose, not knowing where you've been, with a pounding headache and feeling a little dirty. Just kidding. This is an entertaining show hosted by a rafter of turkeys. Generally, they try and talk about guns and Ipsic, but mostly you'll just hear banter about Trevor's 1911. Matthew
it's not
being
1911.
Matthew being distracted. It is a 1911 by squirrels. Did I just get distracted there again? And Owen giggling in the background.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Occasionally,
but I hate him.
Where's my
Occasionally, you do get a bit of good information, but that is usually when they have a guest on. So, drink up, whether you prefer a fine single malt scotch, a great American bourbon, or whatever Canadians have for whiskey, this podcast will always have something for your taste.
Speaking of taste, I can't find my hoppies.
Friar Duck, you nailed it. That is a great review. So, Canadians, that's what you're striving for. Something like that. Anyhow, that's our iTunes review of the week.
Awesome.
Which I guess brings us into shout-outs. So what do we got for shout-outs, gentlemen?
To Chris Kingston for taking my call in the middle of the show and hooking you up with 1,000 pieces of nine mil brass. And telling me I owe him.
Yeah, I did enjoy that part of it. That part where you're like, you know this is for Matthew, right? He goes, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's yeah. You owe him.
Super.
Owen, any shout-outs?
No, I do not have any.
I've got a shout-out for somebody who's probably not listening. I forgot to mention this earlier in the show, and so I figured I would just use this shout-out opportunity to talk about it a little bit. What's that?
Found my hoppies.
Oh, good for you. That's awesome. One of Matt's neighbors has been accepted into the federal prison. Not that way. He's been.
You have to apply for that?
As an employee,
what's wrong with our justice system?
Not as a guest, as an employee. So he will be heading out to, and apparently the federal prison guards get the RCMP firearms training. I didn't know this. So he's heading out to Regina or Saskatoon or something for 3 months to take a bunch of courses to qualify him to be an employee at the, I believe he's going to the federal prison in the middle of the province. What one's that?
Renouse.
The Renouse, yes.
Been so there.
Interesting. We don't want to know the circumstances. What's that?
Story for another day.
So anyway, I was at breakfast today, and he was there. We went out for breakfast, him and Matt and a bunch of other guys from the church. And he's like, I got to ask you a question. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. He says, you have guns, right? I said, do I have guns? He says, I've never really been into guns. I've never hunted. I've never fired a gun. Nothing. No gun experience at all. And I'm going out to take firearms training. Would you be willing to at least sit me down with some guns and show me how they work? You know, so I can assemble them and play with them and, you know, get familiar with them, because I don't want to be the guy who doesn't know anything about guns when I get out there. So I said, of course. I said, yes. So he'll be coming out probably tomorrow or the next day, and we're going to basically drool over all my guns and play with them. So that's going to be cool.
Awesome.
Yep. So I guess that, I never did even mention his name. His name's Tony. So shout out to Tony. If you're listening, Tony, see you tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And congratulations on the job too. So that brings us to the end of the show. Again, I want to thank Tommy for joining us. That was really cool to have him on. And please be sure to check out our firearms associations here in Canada. We have the CSSA and the NFA. You need to look into those, get your memberships, become involved, just like we were talking about earlier. Please check us out on the Gun Owners of Canada web forum. We have a presence there, and we have a forum there where you can go in and get links to the show and talk about the show and ask questions and stuff. So that's always an option. Please like us on Facebook, or just even go over and check out our Facebook page, because from time to time we post stuff on there that's interesting, and sometimes we don't. But I think we're at 923. Is that a current number?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It hasn't changed for a while.
It hasn't changed for a while. So, yeah, you're slipping.
Kind of stalled. Yeah.
Come on, listeners, you're slipping. Please be sure to check out all of the other great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, which features dozens of Canadian-based outdoor podcasts, as well as the Crusader Podcast Network, which features an even baker's dozen of great American and Canadian pro-gun podcasts.
That number is going to change.
Yep, because you guys are going to get on there, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, Trevor, have you actually officially announced on this show that you are actually hosting another web or podcast?
I don't know.
No, you
Trevor. Trevor,
that?
What's that?
Why doesn't Trevor do that right now?
I don't know.
All right.
And time's up. Thanks for listening, everyone. Just kidding.
Myself, Pat Harrison, and Mo Hepworth have started a new show called Action Shooting Radio, and much help from Matthew in the technical end of things to get everything up and running and on iTunes and all that good stuff. So we have 3 episodes out. You can find us on Facebook and on iTunes, and you won't hear any political talk there, that's for sure, unless it pertains to action shooting sports. So every week we get together and we talk about not just IPSC, but all of the action shooting sports, whether they be handgun or rifle. If it's running and gunning, we're going to talk about it.
Very cool. Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I should try to listen sometime. cool. All right. Well, I guess that's it for the show. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Cool. Take some shooting.
They won't Maybe see we'll us see next
you.
Week.
Well, they might see us next week if we get this Google Plus thing working properly. Trevor, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, you can, I'm not. You can't look at me because my webcam didn't work.
Yeah. Anyway, Trevor,
take somebody shooting. Please.
You sound horrible.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over,
it's time to get a gun. I was told they would be ready yesterday. I didn't check
Chris,
to see
you?
If... Oh, you didn't mute your mic there, Trev.
9mm brass.
Yeah, thanks for muting your mic. Matthew. Oh, my goodness. You're a tool. 28. There's an edit point.
Yep, Matthew McClatchy, you need some 9mm brass. We can't find any.
Trevor.
1,000?
Dozen.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. 100,000. Okay, well, we'll take it 1,000 at a time.
I hate him so much right now. This is such an outtake.
I know I owe you big time, but this isn't even for me. This is for him. Oh, it all comes back.
I like it. See, I like how he's on the hook for this,
perfect.
Even though it's for me.
All right, thanks. Okay, take care. But I will. Bye-bye.
Let's pretend he didn't mute his mic.
I know I did mute my mic that way. He's got Mr. Kingston live on the show. He's like, Matthew, who?
You're such a tool. That's an edit.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
No, you got to leave that in. That's gold.
It'll be an outtake.
So, yeah, I got you some brass.
Perfect.
You're
brass
welcome.
Is good. Thank you.
Tell us about it. You were there. Tell us about it.
Well, I was hoping for more of an outtake as opposed to something I'm going to put into the show because I can't really edit this in.
It'll be hard to cut it in.
It's got to be something that's obviously tacked on the end.
No problem at all.
No.
So,
no. You can.
No. Well, one of the things is everybody on that's talking now, we're all married. So Valentine's Day, can you ever live up to the expectations? That's one of the things.
Yes.
I live up to my expectations every year, which is nothing.
She filled my fridge with beer and water, has taken care of me, all of my needs the last 2-3 days, served me hand and foot.
And what did you do for her, though?
Shoveled the roof. I didn't even get her a card.
That must be one of the things about Christina. She doesn't have great expectations.
You
which
got
is,
her, buddy.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You set the bar low. Right, you keep it low, and that way you just step over it, as opposed to having to actually do any jumping.
So you were saying,
my wife had complained that she didn't have enough time to get out and get a card for me. So what I asked Simon to do is the night before, I sent him into Hallmark. I said, "Okay, go pick a card for Mom to give to me." So that at least she doesn't feel bad that we've got cards for her and she'd have something to give me the next morning. Yeah, she left work early and stopped off. So I got 2 Valentine's cards. One that,
one from your son and one from your wife.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's funny.
Yeah, what can you do? Valentine's Day. I mean, a holiday totally invented by Hallmark.
That's what Jewel always says, and that's why we just don't celebrate it. We just don't do. It's like whatever. It's like Happy Valentine's Day. She's like whatever.
I would have thought that Trevor would have celebrated it quite a lot. To be honest with you, isn't February 14th the day that?
Stop! Don't even go there. Don't even go there.
The day that what?
It's the patent date for the 1911.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Simon also said to me, he said, "Isn't this the anniversary of the Valentine's Day massacre?" Just looking for the "duh" symbol.
Thank you, Yeah.
Geez, I wonder why that is, son. Yeah.
Oh, Owen was first anyway. How did I end up going first?
Because I'm the host or the lead host, and I decided to jump to you.
Oh, okay.
I don't always follow the notes, man.
See that?
He just likes you better than he likes me.
That's
he's coming to your place in a couple weeks, so he's trying to suck up.
Well, I'm going to your place too there, dude.
When?
March break.
How are you going to have time to come to my place and go to his place?
The solution, Owen, is that you come with him to my place and then see. Well,
he's got maple syrup to make.
I'm a responsible adult, and I have things to do.
And we're not. So that's why we get to have the fun, and you're complaining? Hey, it's your own fault for being responsible.
Clearly. And let's not keep score as to how many times he's visited your place in the last year and how many times he's visited my place.
That's true.
Children, there's plenty of Matthew to go around.
Not according to my daughters.
I'm glad that's not live anymore because that could have been taken wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
It's funny now. They would be saying the same thing when they're eating.
In 10 years, it's not going to be funny at all.
No.
I'm going to be looking down the barrel of Owen's shotgun.
Yeah.
Or theirs, yeah. Oh, crud. That way we don't have these long, awkward pauses that I got to edit. Because that happens every time. 99% of the time, it happens every time.
We do it on purpose because Owen and I are pretending to be polite to let the other guy go first. But really, we're just creating an edit point for you.
You guys, you shouldn't have. Seriously, you shouldn't have. All right, here we go. That's take 2 of episode 44.